And welcome back to our podcast. I'm the Disturbed Southern Belle.
And I'm the Gentleman.
This week we're going to finish up our series of execution and torture methods that have been used throughout history. This week we're going to be talking about some different torture methods that have been used. Some psychological and some physical. As you can imagine, there are many, many, many methods that can be used. Would even go over to be basically execution methods as they can lead to death. But first we're going to talk about some psychological torture methods that can be used. The first one we're going to talk about is blackmail. Now this is if someone basically finds out something about you. Now this is going to be something that is horrific to you. Something that could destroy your reputation, perhaps make you lose your job. Something very bad is going to happen if other people find out about it. Someone finds out this information and basically they make you do things to prevent them from telling this information. Now, that could be anything. They could ask for money. They could just ask you to do tasks that you don't want to do. It could be literally anything you can imagine. And they're going to keep doing that and keep holding this over your head and keep you under their thumb, so to speak, until basically you're going to snap more than likely. But it is something that's been done, of course, for as long as there's probably been people, because I mean everyone probably has something that they prefer other people not to know. Now granted, some people are going to have worse secrets than others, as you can imagine, but this is something that is considered a pretty bad psychological torture method, and it can also be something that is punishable as a crime in some places, and depending on the extent to which it's taken. Another method that's been used in history is something called the Chinese water torture. Sometimes it's also called a dripping machine, and basically it's a process in which you're placed in under this little thing that drips water on you, and you're tied up where you can't move or whatever, and water is slowly dripped onto your scalp, forehead, or face for an extended period of time. The water is really cold. And it also, the pattern of the drops is really irregular, so you're sitting there waiting on it to drop. You don't know when it's going to drop. You don't know when it's going to hit you. It may be 2 minutes. It may be every 3 seconds. You know, it's very erratic and irregular. And then, of course, the sensation of the cold water dropping on you is, you know, jarring, as you can imagine. And you're sitting there anticipating it, and you don't know when it's going to happen, and it basically just kind of breaks you down mentally because you're trying to anticipate when the next drop is going to drop, and there's no pattern to it whatsoever.
From a outsider's point of view that's heard of this but not really even remotely experienced it, it just sounds like it would be just more of an annoyance than anything else.
It does, but this would go on for a huge period of time. Now, usually, you know, if this could happen over the course of a week or better. So, I mean, I guess after a point, you know, it would break you down mentally. I don't know exactly, you know, I've never experienced it either. I mean, it doesn't sound like it would be what you think it would be, but, I mean, it's pretty bad, apparently. Now, whether or not it's an effective method, I don't know. I mean, you know, some people say that it was found pretty effective. They did something like on Mythbusters about it where they actually tried it, and it was supposed to be not pleasant after a while. It would like make you feel like you were kind of going crazy because of anxiety and just different things. I think part of it might be because you're restrained as well. You know,
probably.
You can't move.
That's what I'm thinking.
And then, I don't know, you know, your mind starts racing about what's happening, and then you don't, you know, maybe thinking more things are going to happen. I don't really know, but it does sound like it wouldn't be that fun, but it is something that's been used for quite a while. I mean, it's even been back, I've seen things where it's like back to the 1600s, so apparently it's something that's pretty effective. It usually was used for interrogation purposes, so it'd be like, you know, they, you know, tell us this, and then if you don't, they've just put you in here for so long, like a day, and make you endure it, and then pull you out and ask you again, and just keep at it, basically. Mm-hmm. Another method that's been used throughout history is something called humiliation. Now, this was basically more effective on people who were of a higher social status or something, where they were drug out in front of everyone and basically made to kneel down and strip. Sometimes they would make them, you know, strip all their clothes off and just humiliate them in front of everyone, allow everyone to see them. And then they would also tell what they had did, you know, with them having to look out at a group of people. And, you know, it'd be very embarrassing. So it would not be something that people would have wanted to happen, especially someone who was of a higher social status back in, you know, older days. You know, they really looked down on other people who they thought were below them and things. So if they were made to be paraded out in front of them, this was something they absolutely did not want, you know, to have done. So it was something that, you know, was definitely done more to people like that. And it basically would just be, you know, just basically embarrassment. But after it was over with, you know, of course, people would look differently on them. And so it would just sort of lead on to more, you know, down the line, because people would look lessly at them and it would kind of ruin their reputation in the society. Another method that's been used and is still used today is where people are subjected to long periods of interrogation. Now, this would be where you see where someone is questioned about a crime and the interrogation lasts for hours and hours and hours, and they're just asking you the same questions over and over and over again. And they're trying to trip you up, trick you into saying something or something, and then they'll jump on it and they'll just keep on hounding you and hounding you and hounding you until you'll finally just confess just to make it stop. Or you'll just tell them whatever they want you to say. Now, this is something that has been used even in recent times. I mean, I've seen it where they would say they interrogated someone for like 14 hours or, you know, longer periods of time where they get no breaks at all and it's just continuous harassment, more or less. Now, this, I'm not really sure if this would be an effective way to interrogate anyone, because I imagine after a while, people probably would be broken down to the point where they may say things that are not true. So I imagine there's probably been a lot of false confessions gotten out of this. And I've even seen cases where later on they found out that, you know, it was false, that they were basically even telling them things about the crime that they weren't supposed to tell them. In other words, that the killer would only know, and they would say, well, are you sure he didn't do this? Or, you know, leading them into saying things that were not true. Now, that's definitely something that's been used. Now, granted, it does seem to work more on the people who maybe have a slightly lower IQ or people who are a little more slow in their thinking, as you could imagine, you know, that could be led into thinking. And then, you know, they congratulate them when they tell them what they want to hear, so that makes them feel like they're doing the right thing. And, you know, it's kind of sad in some cases, as you can imagine, but it's definitely something that is used in a pretty bad psychological torture method. The next method that's been used and is still used is music torture. Now, this is generally where they get and they just blast extremely loud music into a building or something, or even put someone in a room and just blast loud, loud music just continuously. And this is something they did with, like, David Koresh, the FBI and all that. I remember that. They had trucks out there and they were blasting music in there, and we all know how that ended up. And if you don't, you know, it wasn't a good ending. They basically set the place on fire inside and killed a bunch of people inside and kids and everything. So it ended horribly. But that was a method that they did use, where they played really loud music for, like, I'm not even sure how long. It seems like it might have been even a few days, where it was just continuously bombarding this place with just this loud, obnoxious music. Which any song, I imagine, if it was just played full blast continuously, would become obnoxious after a bit, because you couldn't hear anything, you know, and it's, you know, radiating off the walls. It's just bouncing around in your head. So I can definitely imagine. I'm not good with really loud noises like that either, so that would be something that I can imagine would be pretty bad torture. Now, some people, you know, it probably, you know, they may not care. I guess it would all depend on your mental state, but it seems kind of weird that sometimes this is the things that they choose to do with people who are already mentally unstable and they know it, and then they push them further. Then you kind of wonder, would some things have actually happened and played out the way they did had they not did some of the things that they did to try to make them give up, so to speak. Another method that's used is seclusion. Now, this is something that can basically be also known as sort of a solitary confinement or isolation, where they basically put you in a room or something just and leave you. Now, Sometimes they even go so far as to make it really low lit, where it's even more of sensory deprivation. You don't hear, and it could even go into that, where you're not really hearing any sounds. No one's interacting with you. No one talks to you, really. And you're pretty much just by yourself continuously. Now, after a while, you know, this can sort of get to you because people do kind of need some human interaction of some sort. I mean, even if it's not physical or talking to someone, you know, you need some kind of something to stimulate your mind. Or your mind starts, as they say, kind of feeding on itself. I've even heard people say that, where it just sort of turns on you and you start hallucinating and just all kinds of craziness starts happening. This is something that's, of course, done in prison systems. You hear about this all the time, you know, where they put people in, you know, solitary confinement for huge periods of time. And they come out and they're just very different. Sometimes for the good, sometimes, most often not, they're worse. And then they start to crave being alone and they become violent. It's just, it can be bad. But it is something that has been used and is still used. Another method that's used is like exploiting your phobia. So that would be like if you were afraid of spiders, for instance. They could put you in a room and put spiders out where they were crawling all around, or putting them on you, tying you down and putting a spider on you or something. Now, this would be someone who is terrified of spiders. Now, this wouldn't be just someone who's like, oh, you know, spider, you know, scared. Like, you know, a normal person might have a reaction to a spider. This is someone who would be, like, crippled, you know, by this. And, you know, they would do this as a way, of course, to break you down psychologically. And it could be done over, you know, an extended period of time, whatever, you know, just until you break, basically. Something else that's been known to happen is something called a mock execution. And this can be done by many different methods. So basically, they will tell you that they're going to kill your best friend if you don't tell them what they want to hear. Or they would take you out and blindfold you and carry you out in the middle of nowhere and make you dig your own grave and make you think that they're going to kill you. Put a gun to your head and pull the trigger, and maybe it's empty, maybe it fires a blank, shooting near you, like really close to your body, but not hitting you, just enough to make you, you know, think the next shot's going to, you know, shoot you. In other words, just scaring you to death that they're going to kill you if you don't tell them what they want to hear or do what they want you to do. Now, this is something that, of course, is more to happen with just people doing this to someone, not so much like law enforcement, probably. But I'm not going to say that it's never been done by law enforcement. I'm sure, you know, you never know. And in different countries, exactly, different countries, you know, they're very lenient on things and they allow them to get away with a lot. So I can imagine that this would definitely be terrifying. And especially if you thought someone you cared about was going to be killed if you didn't do something. So it's definitely not something that I can imagine being pleasant in any way. So I could absolutely see this being a pretty bad psychological torture method. So another thing that sort of ties into this conclusion could be something called sensory deprivation. Now, usually this is done to a bigger extent than just like putting you in a room. They can even put you in a sensory deprivation tank where it's like you're in water and your body will float, so you don't feel any sensation of really touching anything solid. And then you can't hear anything. There's no sounds. There's no nothing. Now, people do this, you know, for short periods of time for anxiety and things like that. And it is a useful tactic for things like that. But over an extended period of time, it starts making your mind sort of break, so to speak. And you kind of start mentally hallucinate. I mean, it's crazy.
It's solitary confinement on crack.
Pretty much. I mean, it's pretty bad. And then on the flip side, there's something called sensory overload. Now, this would be where they would put you in a room or something, and they would have, like, lights flashing, really loud noises at intervals, banging. I mean, just all kind, anything you can think of. People touching you or just different things, water dropping on, even that. I mean, just a whole mixture of everything at once to where, you know, that would also, you know, it would just overload you and make you feel really anxious and, you know, and probably eventually will probably make your mind break as well.
Probably, because you're not able to focus on anything to keep you grounded.
Exactly, because there's so much happening at one time. Like, it'd be dark, and then all of a sudden lights come on and start flashing, and then there's a real bright light in your face, and then it's off, and then there's something dripping on you, and then there's somebody touching you, and then there's loud, you know, it's just crazy. So, yeah, it wouldn't be fun either. Another method that she used is sleep deprivation. Now, this is something that is used, you know, often in different, you know, different places. But basically, anyone who's ever went any extended period of time without sleep knows your mind just kind of gets a little mushy, so to speak. You kind of can't focus, so you're probably going to say things that maybe you wouldn't normally say because you're not, I don't know. It's hard to describe if you've never experienced it. You can even hallucinate. I mean, it's you start feeling very weird, basically. But an extended period of time without sleeping is another thing, and plus your body is wanting to sleep, and they're doing stuff to make you awake, and you're so exhausted, and then you get so exhausted that you almost can't even go to sleep if you've ever been that way. I've been there, too, where I went too long without sleeping, and then it's hard to get to sleep or stay asleep. So it kind of messes you up in that way as well. Now, something that, I don't know, in a way, I guess it doesn't actually sound like it's torture, but I guess it would be after a point, is if you've ever had someone hold you down and tickle you, and they wouldn't stop. And this is something that's called tickle torture, where they just keep doing it. Now, I mean, it does sound funny when you think about it, but think about,
it,
you know,
would be very awful.
It would be, because, you know, it makes you laugh and stuff, and it's not pleasant sometimes. I mean, when you're being tickled, necessarily. It can feel weird after a point, and it just, I don't know, you just want it to stop, and they're not stopping.
Not to mention, constantly laughing nonstop actually will hurt you physically.
Right. It would cause pain. I mean, it can pull muscles and things because you're tensing your body when you laugh and things. So, I mean, it wouldn't be pleasant.
It would also make it hard to breathe, too.
It would. It wouldn't. It wouldn't be.
Because your breathing is so irregular when you're laughing.
So, it doesn't sound, I mean, you know, you laugh when you hear it, you'll tickle torture, but you got to imagine that this is not somebody just, you know, tickle. I mean,
it's a very solid form of torture.
This is somebody who is, like, tying you up and just tickling, I mean, just continuously for, like, hours. So, I mean, it does sound bad because, I mean, I can even remember when I was little, you know, playing around with people and they just keep on doing it, you know, and it wasn't fun after a little bit. It's like, stop. You start getting mad. You're like, quit. That's enough, you know. So I could definitely see that this not be something that would be pleasant in any way. Now, another method that's used, and this has even been something that's used by, like, the CIA and things like that, and we probably have seen it depicted in movies at different times, different TV shows I've even seen them do it on. And this is something called waterboarding. This is basically where they hold you down, tie you down or something, and they place a rag or something over your face, and then they start pouring water on it. And it basically makes you feel like you're drowning because you want to breathe, but you're sucking in wet air, basically, and it basically
causes you to suffocate.
Right. It can cause you to suffocate. Now, generally, they only do it, you know, for, you know, a few seconds, and then they stop, and then, you know, but whatever. It's bad. Sometimes they'll even, like, incline your head just a little bit, like, hang your head down just a slight bit where it will run up your nose more and stuff to cause it to feel more like you're drowning. And the water is poured over you, and it basically, if they don't stop, you would eventually asphyxiate or drown to a point, I suppose, if you sucked it down in your lungs. But this is something that is technically psychological torture, but could definitely move over into actual execution. I mean, really.
What gives it more merit to being psychological torture is that if they do it off and on, like constantly, but also at irregular intervals, then it would start to wear you down mentally.
Right. And because you're being deprived of oxygen, you can imagine how that feels. It makes your chest hurt, it causes pain, you know, it can cause damage even to your lungs and brains because of oxygen deprivation. So it's a possibility that even if it didn't kill you, it could actually mess you up physically as well. But yeah, this is something that, you know, is bad. And it's said that people who have had this done for them can have, you know, psychological effects for years and years. And some people never get over it. Some people have just even get afraid of water and just all kinds of things, or just have nightmares about, which I can imagine. I mean, this would be something that's horrific, and yeah, I mean, but it's something that's definitely done. I mean, it's been done, and it's still done to this day in, you know, different places. And I mean, I've even heard of the CIA, you know, releasing files saying that they have done this to different people, torturing them like this. So yeah, it's not a good method, but it's definitely something that I've seen depicted on several movies and several TV shows. And just, you know, looking at it, it doesn't, just looking at someone getting it done to them, you'd think, well, that wouldn't be so bad, it's just a few, but yeah, it's bad. It is very bad. I've heard of people who've actually had this done, even for just a small amount of time, just to see, and it was very, very, very unpleasant. It basically makes you feel like your head is completely underwater and you are drowning and you're just sucking in water because you panic and you start, you know, trying to draw air, and basically you've got a soap towel or something over your face that's going to really hold water, especially, and you can imagine a wet towel wrapped around your head and then somebody pouring water on it, you know, just, yeah, awful. So now we're going to talk about some different methods that are considered more physical torture methods. Now, some of these methods that we just discussed earlier, like waterboarding and things like that, those could also be considered physical torture methods as well, because you are physically doing something to someone, even though they technically aren't harming you physically. In most cases, it's more just messing with your mind. You know, you're still doing something to someone physically. But one thing that we're going to talk about first is called an acid attack. And this is basically what you think it is. It's pretty much someone just throwing acid on someone. And if anyone who's ever had any kind of an acid burn of any kind, this is awful. And it basically just eats your skin, as you can imagine, and it just doesn't stop. Sometimes, I mean, it can even go all the way down to, depending on what kind of acid it is, it could literally just eat down to the bone if you couldn't get it off your skin in time. So, I mean, a lot of times this is even worse, is because they try to throw it on someone's face or in their eyes or something, so you can imagine. And as also you can imagine, it causes long-term damage, because it's going to cause a lot of physical scarring and things like that that often can't even, you know, be repaired by, you know, like plastic surgery and things, because it really does deep, horrible scarring. This is something that's really disgusting to me, and I don't know, but it's just for the pure intention of disfiguring someone or killing someone or whatever. They don't care, you know, what happens to them. As you can imagine, if you went through acid on someone, you really wouldn't care what happened to them, because my goodness,
their life would be permanently altered.
Oh yeah. And you can imagine, you know, having in, I'm sure most of us have probably saw photos of people who've had something like this done, and it's not pretty. It is horrible. And I mean, they're pretty much, you know, they're just disfigured horribly for life. So I mean, it's bad enough that it happened to you, but you're going to be reminded of it every single day, because you know, if you look at yourself in the mirror or catch a glimpse, you're just always, and then people looking at you, you know, because it would be hard not to, you know, look at someone that looked like that. I mean, you know, not even if you were trying to be, you know, not because you were trying to be mean or something, but just because it would be like, oh my gosh, you know, that's not something you're used to seeing. I've heard this used more often in like Middle Eastern countries and things like that. I've heard of people doing this, like, but I mean, I've heard of it in all different places. So I mean, there's no real place that it happens necessarily. I've heard of it happening pretty much anywhere, and any kind of acid can be used. I mean, anything that would, you know, destroy skin could be used. So I mean, it wouldn't be difficult to get something like that to really hurt someone. I mean, just think about battery acid, how easy that would be to get. I mean, and then throwing that in someone's face and just not caring. I don't know of anyone that I hate bad enough to do that to, but
I do.
Jesus. Oh my God. So the next one we're going to talk about is something called foot whipping. It's also called bastinado. And basically, it's whipping someone on the soles of their feet. Now, you think, well, that doesn't sound so bad, but
you gotta walk on your feet.
You gotta walk on your feet, and also, they're not just, like, lightly, you know, spanking your foot with their hand or something. They're taking, like, a bamboo stick or something that would cut into your feet or cause horrible bruising, and beating you on the bottom of the foot.
I've heard of people using actual whips for it.
Oh, too. Yeah. They can use that. I mean, it's, you know, usually it's a rod of some sort, like a switch kind of thing. Mm. A little thicker than what you might consider like a normal switch. But, yeah, it's not nice. And you can imagine how much pain that would cause because, like you said, you got to walk on your feet. So, yeah, this would not be something that would be fun in any way whatsoever. Another method that's been used is branding. And this is pretty much what you think it is. It's just like branding a cow or an animal. I mean, you basically heat up some kind of metal and you just burn someone's skin. Now, granted, some people do this willingly. You know, you see people like that are in like fraternities and things, they'll have those scars where they'll, you know, brand the symbol or whatever into their arms and things like that. But usually it's something that's done where you don't want it done. So it's not like something you're volunteering for. And sometimes it would be like where they would do it over and over and over on different parts of your body. Sometimes branding, especially like on your face and places like that. So you can imagine having a horrible brand of something that you wouldn't want on your face, branded on your skin, you know, where it's going to be there forever. Now, this is something that I would imagine would be bad because burns, they're bad enough anyway. But yeah. Then being reminded of it all the time by having to see the brand and things like that.
It's like a extremely painful, irremovable tattoo.
More or less. I mean, that's pretty much it. I mean, it's not something that I would ever want to do to someone, and I couldn't imagine having it done to me, but it's definitely something that has been used and is still used. Another method that's used for burning people is cigarette burns, where, you know, you stick a lit cigarette to someone's skin. And anyone who's ever been burned by a cigarette knows that this is not something pleasant, especially if someone just held it to your skin and just enough where they weren't putting the cigarette out, where it was keeping its flame or its fire, and just holding it on your skin and just burning this horrible mark on your skin. And they usually do this repeatedly. I mean, it's not like a just one-time thing. I mean, it's usually all over you, and then you're going to end up with these little circular marks all over your body, of course, as you can imagine, scarring from it. But, yeah, this is something that's definitely used a lot as a physical torture method because it's very easily done because cigarettes are not hard to obtain, as you can imagine. I mean, anywhere, really. So, that's something else that's done that would be sort of similar-ish to branding, as in you're going to have a scar there or whatever. But this is something also that's, ugh, you know, I couldn't imagine doing it to anyone. But it's definitely something that's been done for years and years, and it's still done today. Another method is dehydration, where is basically they just put you somewhere and don't give you anything to drink. And as you can imagine, as your body starts to need water, you're going to start weakening, and then you're just going to start going through what you would go through as you're dehydrated. You know, people even have, I've heard of people saying they, you know, can start hallucinating, all kinds of things. You start getting really weak. And eventually you would die if, you know, they didn't give you anything at all. Sometimes they would even do it to the point where they would give you just a little bit of water or something, just enough to sort of keep you alive to prolong it even longer. And you're still feeling those effects of dehydration, which should be muscle cramps, all kinds of stuff. If anyone's ever been dehydrated, they know it's not pleasant. You do get some pretty bad muscle cramps. You get really, you start feeling weak. It's not pleasant. So I couldn't imagine, you know, doing this to someone and then prolonging it, especially where you give them just a little bit of water, just enough to keep them alive, just to keep them going, and then just slowly dehydrating them further and further. But yeah, that's something else that people have used for psychological torture methods as well. Another method, and this is something that we talked about in the execution methods when we talked about hanging, drawing, and quartering, is called half hanging. So this is basically where they would strangle you almost to death or to the point where you passed out. And then they would, you know, allow you to come back to your senses or whatever. And sometimes they would do this repeatedly. Now, this can also cause damage down the road, as you can imagine, because you're depriving your brain of oxygen. So doing this repeatedly is not something that's good. It could cause brain damage. It could eventually even kill you, you know, because it can cause other things to happen, blood vessels to burst, you know, different things, you know, because you're putting pressure on places that, you know, you're not supposed to. But that's something else that has been used, and they call it half hanging, because they're not fully hanging you. They're only half hanging you. So it makes it, I guess, better, I suppose. Now, for all of us who've ever watched the Stephen King movie Pet Sematary, we probably have seen this depicted when Gage cut the old man's hamstring. And this is something called hamstringing, where that's basically what they do, is they cut your hamstring, so they're basically crippling you where you can't walk. And it seems weird that that would really be something that just cutting that would even just where you couldn't even walk, you know, but yeah, it's crazy how much that supports the foot and, you know, to your leg and things is your hamstring. It's kind of weird when you think about it, but it's bad. So another thing that they can do to sort of cripple you is something called kneecapping. This is basically where, as you can imagine, they bust you in the knee with something. Sometimes it could be shooting someone in the leg with like a lower velocity gunshot, or it could just be hitting someone in the leg with something where they're basically damaging your knee. And as you can imagine, your knee is very important, and anyone who's ever had their knee hurt knows how much your knee supports your body. You just don't realize it until you maybe sprain your knee or twist it or something, or it hurts and you're putting even just the least little bit of pressure on it. So you can imagine if your kneecap was really damaged, how bad this would be. But this is something that I've heard of using more like the mafia and places like that. I've heard them doing stuff like this, like people who owe them money and things of that nature, doing stuff like this to them, where they wouldn't actually break their leg. They would just bust them in the knee and things like that. But I don't know which would be worse. I mean, really, either one sounds terrible. But kneecapping is something that also can cause long-term damage because it damages your knee, and then you may have issues out of that joint forever. So a broken bone, you know, sometimes it can heal, and it may cause some issues, but generally not to the same extent as something like, you know, a joint damage, because sometimes it never heals back right. Scar tissue, all that stuff can get built up in there, and it can cause a lot of pain and suffering down the road. So it's something that you would, you know, I don't know. I don't understand, you know, I don't know how people do this to each other, but, you know, it's bad. But, yeah, it's something else that has been used and is still used. I mean, technically, I guess it was sort of what happened to Nancy Kerrigan, if people remember that Tonya Harding, Nancy Kerrigan thing where she got busted in the knee. Of course, she didn't, Tonya Harding didn't actually hit her, but, you know, it's supposed to have been done on her behalf. And, you know, it was bad. You can remember, you know, just seeing the aftermath of it. So you can tell it's not something that's pleasant in any way whatsoever. So another method that was used at one point in time is called pitch capping. This is basically where they would heat up hot pitch, which is something like tar, and they would put it into like a paper cap that was usually kind of comical looking. As why that mattered, I have no idea. I guess they had to make it as entertaining as possible. They put it on your head, and as you can imagine, that would just stick to your skin, scalp, everything, and then they would let it cool, and then they would remove it. So,
oh God.
Yeah. You can imagine, basically what happens is they're, you know, going to lose skin, tissue. It could even be scalping them. I mean, if it was bad enough, you know, just wherever it's stuck, it's not going to want to come loose. So it is horrible. I couldn't imagine doing this to anyone either. This sounds awful, awful. And I couldn't imagine having it done to me. God, that sounds horrific. I don't know what would be worse, having it put on or having it taken off. It both sound just god-awful.
taken off, because that what, or you'd suffer more permanent damage that way.
Oh, you definitely would, but I don't know which would hurt worse. I imagine both of them would hurt pretty freaking bad, because hot boiling tar basically poured on your head would not feel good in any way whatsoever. So, yeah.
Actually, the shock of that might actually kill you right off.
I mean, it could.
They'd be the lucky ones.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if someone had a weak heart or something especially, or their body went into shock, I mean, anyone. I mean, it could happen. Yeah, definitely. You could, a lot of these, you could possibly just die from shock. Now, another method that is considered physical torture, but I would really just say this is going to be execution. And it's something I've actually never heard of, and it's something called a Republican marriage, where this was basically something that was supposed to have happened like during the revolutionary time of in France. And it basically was where they tied a naked man and woman together, bound them together, where they were, you know, completely bound together, and then they just drowned them. And why this was called... Yeah. And
why? What's the point of them being naked?
I have no idea. I mean, I guess, like I said, once again, they had to make it as entertaining as possible, apparently. I mean, some of this stuff also, I guess, was for the humiliation factor. I really don't know. I mean, exactly. I mean, if you're going to drown them, who cares?
You're not really going to care about your image if you're going to die.
Right. I mean, I don't guess I would really care if I was naked or if I had clothes on if they were going to drown me. I mean, I really don't guess that would be the least of my concerns. But I'm supposing, I guess, I don't know, to add to the entertainment of it, also the humiliation factor, because, you know, people used to were really more, you know, prudish, I suppose would be the easiest way to say it, in, you know, their dress, and so they didn't really want, you know, even to be seen in their underclothes or anything, you know, in different days like that. So I guess that was part of it, but as to why a Republican marriage, why they called it the things they called it, I have no idea, but my God,
may have something to do with the people that invented it or something.
Probably. I'm sure it did, but I've never even heard of this until
recently. It sounds
recently.
Like a political statement.
I'm sure it is. But yeah, I don't even know why that would be considered torture, and unless maybe they dunked them in and out a few different times. And that's something else that's known, is the mock drownings, where basically they hold your head underwater or hold you underwater for like 30 seconds, a minute, whatever, long enough that most people could theoretically hold their breath, and then bring you up, you know, let you get some breaths, and then put you back down and just do that repeatedly, dunking you over and over again. So, I mean, I don't know if they did that as well during this, or they just flat drowned them. I don't know, but my goodness. So, we talked about waterboarding, and that is also considered, as I said, a physical torture method, because you are physically doing something to someone else. But another method that was used is called water cure, and this is basically where they would just force you to drink large quantities of water in just a short amount of time, which, as you can imagine, would cause your stomach and everything to fill up and possibly even rupture. It can also cause water intoxication, because if you drink a huge amount of water, it's not good. It can cause brain damage. It can do all kinds of things, and it can even kill you. So, yeah, that was also something that was done, and it could also be, as I said, an execution method, because you can die from it, which is weird when you think about it. You think, oh, you're supposed to drink plenty of water. You are, but if you drink way too much, and especially in a really short amount of time, it can cause horrible, horrible consequences. And it's not something that you definitely ever would want to happen, but it was something that they did. Another thing that they did was force feeding, where they would, you know, tie someone up or whatever, hold them, and just keep feeding them until they threw up, sometimes even going so far as to making them eat the vomit. I mean, it's disgusting. But
very much so.
And just keep doing that until whatever happened. I mean, your stomach might rupture after a point. You might get strangled, you know, choke, as you can imagine, because you're being force-fed stuff sometimes faster than you can even, you know, swallow it, depending on what they were feeding you, especially. So, yeah, that is absolutely horrible as well. And that's something else that was done that's very similar to this, other than, you know, they're using some sort of food or something. So, to finish up, we're just going to talk about a few of the maybe more well-known methods that were used as torture devices. Now, as you can imagine, you don't have to be very inventive in this. I mean, pretty much anything, I guess, could technically be used as a torture device if you wanted it to be so. But some of the things that were used is something called a choke pair. It's also known as the pair of anguish or a mouth pair. And it's basically this thing where it looks sort of like a pear, and then they stick it in your mouth, and then they turn this key, and it causes it to open up and just stretch, stretch, stretch wherever they put it. Now, it wasn't always placed in your mouth. You can imagine other orifices that it could be placed in, and it can just pretty much open up all the way if they want it to, so it could do some damage. Because it was metal, it had like sharp spokes sometimes on the end. Sometimes I've even seen some that had like little studs on them and things like that to make it hurt worse, to make it, you know, tear skin and stuff. But yeah, that was something that was used, and ugh, it's nasty to think of and imagine where it could, what could be done with it, but my goodness. Another thing that was used and can still be used is like electroshock weapons. Now, this was things that could be anything. It could be a stun gun. It could be a cattle prod. Anything. It could be a frayed wire. I mean, anything where you could stick it to someone and basically cause them shock repeatedly. That was another thing that could be used. Something else that was used is called the instep borer. And you can pretty much imagine what this is. It's basically something that looked like an iron boot. It was used a lot during medieval Germany and in Germany. Basically, they put this on your foot, and then it had like a little screw thing that would like come up into your instep, and they would just screw it up into your foot. So, yeah. And it would eventually punch a hole completely through the center of your instep, so it could come all the way out the top of your foot. So you can imagine how painful that would be.
Yeah.
That would be awful torture. But yeah, that was something else that was used, and it's disgusting. Something else that was used as a torture device and has been used throughout the world pretty much, and had different uses depending on where it was used. Sometimes it was used for the Chinese water torture, whatever, but it's basically an iron chair, and it would have shackles and things of that nature where it would shackle your legs down, your arms to the arms rest, and, you know, across your chest and legs and waist and everything where you couldn't move at all. And they could do the, whatever they wanted to you at that point. Now, one of the things that they would do sometimes is they would light a flame or fire underneath it while you're sitting on it. So you can imagine how horrible and painful that would be.
That would get extremely hot.
Oh, yeah. Because, I mean, it's made out of iron. Sometimes strips of brass, things like that. Different things would be used to make it worse. But, yeah. Oh, my God. It's awful. Another thing that was used is called the Iron Maiden. We probably have all seen this. It's basically like a casket cabinet-looking thing, you know, where they put you inside it. It usually had, like, spikes or different things in it. Sometimes they would even just, like, push. It had openings where they could, like, stab you through it. I mean, it was just depending on where
kinda
it was
like
used.
Kind of like that one magician's trick. Like, you'd be standing in the box, and he would appear to stab swords
right
into it.
Sort of like that. It could be used like that in some places, but, you know, sometimes it would just have stuff where it was, like, piercing into your skin in a whole bunch of different places. I mean, there's all different kinds. I mean, as far as the imagination could go, you can imagine. So you, anything that you can think of could be done with it, pretty much could be done with it, and it was not pleasant whatsoever. And I'm sure we've probably all seen different depictions of this, but good grief. So, another device is known as the Judas Cradle. Now, it's supposed to have gotten its name from Judas, who betrayed Jesus Christ, as, you know, anyone who has ever heard the story. And it was supposed to basically, well, not supposed to be, it is basically like a stool, but the top of the stool is like shaped into a pyramid. And so, you can imagine sitting on this stool, how that would feel. So, it really doesn't matter how you sit on it, where it's puncturing you, it's bad. And you're just, yeah, just sitting on it and sort of let people slowly impale themselves by being stretched over this pyramid. Sometimes they would add weights to the person's legs or push down to speed up the process, things like that. But it really doesn't matter. I mean, I couldn't, didn't matter, didn't seem like it mattered which way they did it. It sounds awful.
It really does.
It was used a lot during, like, the Spanish Inquisition, which is a time where a lot of these medieval torture devices really came to be. But if you, if you're ever interested, you should definitely take a look at the pictures of it, because, oh my God, it is horrific, and I couldn't even imagine being made to endure this in any way whatsoever. I couldn't imagine the pain you would feel, at all.
Just the image of the Judas cradle itself is fairly interesting.
It is. I mean, it's definitely interesting. I mean, that someone thought it up, period, but yeah, it's disgustingly bad. And I'm going to pretty much say that most likely this is more than torture. It's probably going to end up being death after a point.
It's definitely an execution.
You're going to bleed very badly. Another method that was used is called the pillory. Some people have probably also heard it called like the stocks and things like that, where it's basically like two pieces of wood that are kind of got a hinge on one side, and it's just got enough room for you to stick your head and your hands through, and you can't pull them back out. And then they lock you up and just pretty much stand you out somewhere. And people could just do whatever they wanted to at that point. Now, most of the time, people did do more to you at that point. They would, you know, throw rocks at you, spit on you, throw, you know, just throw water on you and leave you, you know, where it's cold and things like that. I mean, just all kinds of things. Now, it's supposed to be a thing for, like, humiliation and things like that. But this would be bad because your arms are up and your shoulders. And you can imagine after a while, that's going to start to hurt because you can't move your arms or anything, and plus just standing in one spot really just for one long God knows days period of time would not be fun either. And out in the open where animals can come at you if they wanted to, anything can happen. You're out in the elements, the heat, the cold, whatever.
It could very well be an execution.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
It would definitely be a way to die if they left you out there.
Oh, yeah, they didn't. I mean, if they just left you there, eventually you would die. I mean, you would die if nothing else, with dehydration. I mean, you just would. I mean, because you got to have water after, you know, you only live just a few days without water, you know, depending, you know, 3-4 days.
I mean,
maybe.
Even if they did feed you and give you stuff to drink, you would still die
eventually. Because, I mean, there's no way that you could just stand there for, like, years on end or anything. So, yeah, it would not be pleasant in any way whatsoever. And this is something that I saw depicted in a lot of movies and shows. I mean, I'm sure we've all seen this. And I'm thinking for the most part they didn't leave them out there for a huge amount of time. This was usually something they would do, like, for a few days. And then most of the time in the cases that I've seen, it was like to allow them to be humiliated more, and then they would be executed before, you know, afterwards anyway. So this was just something to add a little more humiliation to what they've done. Now, maybe in some cases they deserved it. I don't know. I mean, I guess it would depend on what you did. I mean, you can imagine some pretty horrible people that you've heard of in history and in your life that, you know, maybe they deserved it. But it doesn't sound pleasant at all. I couldn't imagine having to do it. I mean, but it is definitely something that's been used, you know, extensively. Another thing that I've seen used, or not used, but like on movies and things like that, or talked about in history, is called the rack. And it's basically something where it's usually like a rectangular frame thing, and they tie you to it, and it's got rollers, and they just start stretching your body. And it can, as you can imagine, after a while, joints are going to start giving, bones are going to start breaking, something's going to start happening. So it's going to just, it can, if they wanted to go far enough with it, they could literally just pull you apart. So yeah, it is another method that is considered torture. Now, I guess it could just be torture to a point if they just stretched you so far and just held you there where your muscles were really, you know, pulled really far. But if they keep pulling, stuff's going to start coming apart, and I'm imagining that your body's not going to hold up too well, because they could literally rip someone's arms off their body if they wanted to, you know. And it's something that I've seen depicted in a lot of different movies and shows and just different things. So, yeah, it did not look like something that would be pleasant in any way whatsoever. So this is something else that I've actually saw in some different shows and things. And it's something called a scold's bridle. It's sometimes also called a witch's bridle, a gossip's bridle. And basically it's kind of like a iron muzzle thing that goes around your head that you have to wear. It was basically, depending on how it was used, you know, it's kind of like a bridle bit. Sometimes it would even go into your mouth, so you would make, like, eating and things like that difficult. Sometimes it would even stretch your mouth back and, you know, start tearing into your skin. So it was something that was pretty bad as well. It was supposed to be something that was just to make you humiliated, but it could cause a lot of damage and possibly could even cause death, you know, back in those days, because you can imagine how even just small cuts could lead to horrible infections and things like that. So yeah, but it's something that I have seen, you know, depicted before. I couldn't imagine having to wear this thing or what it would feel like. I imagine it would not be pleasant in any way whatsoever, but it was definitely something that was used. Another thing that was used is called the strappado, or it's also known as a corda. And it's basically a form of torture where they would tie the victim's hands behind their back and then suspend them from a rope. So imagine your arms, how far they will go up if you lean, you know, stretch them behind your back. They don't go very high. Mm-hmm. So you can imagine your arms like this and basically your entire body hanging. So they suspend you completely up in the air and they just leave you. Sometimes they would also add weights to your feet, or even the people who were doing the torturing, so to speak, would grab onto their feet and pull them down more. So you can imagine it's basically going to dislocate your shoulders. If you're lucky, that might be all you had to, you know, go through. I say that very loosely, lucky. I mean, but, you know, yeah, this would have been something that, oh my gosh, I couldn't even imagine. I've hurt my shoulder before, and I couldn't imagine this. This would be horrible. The amount of pain that you would be feeling in your shoulders and, you know, back, upper back and things like that, it would be awful. Something else that you probably have heard of over the years, if you've ever, you know, done any research on this type of stuff, is called a thumb screw. And it's basically what you think it is. It's pretty much like these metal bars that have a screw that puts pressure down on something, and they put different body parts in it. Usually your fingers, and just slowly crush your fingers. Sometimes it'd be your fingertips. It could be your entire finger. I mean, you know, they could do just whatever they wanted. It didn't have to be just your fingers. I mean, it was just called a thumb screw. Doesn't mean it had to be used on the thumb. It could be used on anything that could be placed inside it. So for men, you could imagine some of the things that could be placed inside this and
that
crushed.
That would be very painful.
It would be horrible. Oh my goodness. I couldn't even imagine the amount of pain this would cause. But, yeah, it would also sometimes have points inside it that they would put down on top of a fingernail and screw it down to penetrate the nail bed and things like that. So, yeah, it was god-awful. So, here's another thing that I had never actually heard of, but was apparently something that was used quite a lot. And it was after the invention of the old-fashioned crank telephones, if you've ever saw those in, you know, movies or something. This was called the Tucker telephone. So basically what they would do is they would take this like electric generator that was used in the phone, and they would hook it up to some dry cell batteries and then basically turn it and shock you repeatedly or as long as they wanted to. Now, I've never actually heard of this, but I imagine it would be pretty effective because, you know, those things would probably put out a pretty decent little shock of power.
Probably.
So, I mean, I couldn't imagine it would be too pleasant. Anyone who's had even just a mild electrical shock, and I've had them before, you know, I'm sure a lot of people have, you know, like a frayed wire, you maybe accidentally touched it or something. It doesn't feel good.
It does not.
So, you can imagine if it's just being pumped into you, how bad that would hurt. Something else that was used, and it's similar-ish to something that we talked about where they would hang you out in like in a cage. This was called a whirligig, where they would basically put you in this suspended, it was like a cage, but then they would spin it around as fast as it would go for an extended period of time. Now, you can imagine when you were little, a lot of us did this where we would hold our arms out and spin. And, you know, yeah. It was fun because it made you feel drunk or off center, you know, and it was fun. You'd run. You couldn't stand up. Now, also, you remember if you overdid it, it made you very sick.
Yes,
very,
it did.
Very sick. So you can imagine how bad this would feel because this would not be something that it would also be spinning you very quickly and just letting it go and then, you know, letting nature take its course at that point. So it would be horrible. Another thing that was used that we're going to talk about is called the Wicker Man. Now, this is something that was actually depicted in a movie. And basically, it's what you think it is. It's like a large man made out of wicker, basket, hay, whatever. And they would put somebody inside it and then just light it aflame. Now, why this would be torture, I don't consider torture. I'm not sure.
Smoke inhalation.
Maybe.
Hard to breathe.
Sometimes they pulled you out
Fear.
Of it. But generally speaking, they left you in it and just let the thing burn down around you and you died. So, yeah, it's another method that is just disgusting and horrible. But, yeah, it was something that's used. And I've seen, like I said, seen it in a movie even and things like that. So, you know, ugh. The last one we're going to talk about is called a wooden horse or sometimes called a Spanish donkey. It's basically something. It's got different variations. I mean, it really doesn't matter, you know, how you do it. But pretty much, they're going to basically tie your legs apart or tie something to your legs and then just leave you hanging. So your legs are going to be pulled apart, you know, and most people are not that bendable and flexible.
No, they're not.
So yeah, sometimes they would put something underneath you that looked like a table that was kind of had a pyramid on it like that, and you would rest on that to make more pain, I suppose. But yeah, they would sometimes lower you down on this slowly, and they could do all kinds of things, you know, add weights. But most of the time, they liked to do it where it was just as slow as possible, so they would just pretty much let gravity take its course, so to speak. And, yeah, it was horrible. That's going to finish us up with our torture and execution methods. We want you to come back next week. We're going to be talking about Egyptian mythology.
And, of course, I'll be hosting, as with all the mythology stuff. However, next week will be my final episode on mythologies. I will then take up with cryptids.
Yeah, we're going to start some new series. After that, we're going to be going to talk about some more fairy tales, ghost stories, and things of that nature. But we're going to start moving around to different parts of the world. And then we're going to do the following week, each week, we're going to follow up with some cryptids or folklore, different things like that from different parts of the country and different parts of the world. So we definitely invite you back to keep tuning in. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and don't forget to
stay disturbed.